The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? This is a great episode. Aaron Berg comes in for his first time doing the co-hosting ability with none other than the legend himself, Eric Roberts. You might know him as Julia Roberts' brother, Emma Roberts' father, or in, I think, the Guinness Book of World Records for being in more movies and TV shows than any American actor ever. When I looked at his IMDb page, he had 92 upcoming projects. 92! It's Eric Roberts, a goddamn legend, coming on the SDR show. If you're a fan of Eric Roberts, and who isn't, you could have heard this 5 days early and commercial-free at GasDigitalNetwork.com instead of like the jackass you are right now having to sit through commercials and listen to the show with those commercials in it. Just go to GasDigitalNetwork.com, use the code SDR, do it right now. And here it is right now, the Eric Roberts episode of The SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is the hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone fuck the hoes. It's weed, our beat, it's hookers and blow. It's art, it's fart, you need to know. The SDR Show. Let's go.
Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
In three, two.
Wait.
Oh.
Just kidding.
Okay. That's the best trick I've ever thought of.
That is fucking great. I like
it
a lot.
And Eric beat me to it.
You got me good. Here we go. In three, two, it is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. I am Ralph Sutton. With me for the first time as a co-host, host of Berg's Base on the Gas Digital Network, it is Aaron Berg. How are you, buddy?
I'm great. Thanks for the promotion, man. I just found out today that I've been upgraded and that this is a regular gig, and I'm looking forward to doing it every Tuesday and the pay bump that comes with it. Yeah, so thank you so much.
It's so nice of me to do that. So I know you guys actually, which we'll get into, I think you worked together on a movie once, which I'd be fascinated to know if he actually remembers that. But well, I got to try and give this guy the best possible intro I can, because what can you fucking say about a man whose career spans six different decades, has been in movies ranging from Star 80, Pope of Greenwich Village, TV shows like Heroes. I was watching him on Brooklyn Nine-Nine when I found out he was going to be on the show. He also voices the Killer's Vault podcast, which I think did one season already, another one coming back. Every single music video this man has shown up in has gone platinum, and he's the only American actor to be featured on the Masters BBC show. I could go on and on because he's one of the most featured people in a TV and movie shows of all time. It is none other than Eric Roberts. How are you, sir?
What a nice intro. Thank you very much. I'm so impressed with myself, and I didn't know I was supposed to be. Thank you. Thank you.
It is wild. I mean, I'm sure you're asked this a lot, which I think it's, for an American actor, it's true that you're in more movies and TV shows than any other American actor. I saw your IMDb has 92 upcoming projects on its own.
What?
And also, you were supposed to be on the show a couple months ago, and then we had to reschedule. And since then, we're promoting even newer movies. So it's like a constant flow. You must be. And by the way, let me just say one last thing, and then I'll ask you. But I watch videos of you. I do tons of research. I have never seen someone who just seems so genuinely happy with where they are on Earth. The love that you have for your wife. There's some great stories with that. It is a awe-inspiring thing to watch. So just thank you for all that, by the way. It was nice to be watching this for the last couple of days. My favorite quote is you saying, "God damn it, I fucking love my wife." It's just great to see, sir.
After all that, I'm kind of speechless. I don't know what to say. But let me explain to you how this came about very quickly, very succinctly. I made 2 to 4 movies a year, and You know, that was a lot of movies. And I had a great time, did, 8 to 12 TV appearances a year. And, that was a lot of appearances. And then they took film away and they gave us digital. Mm-hmm. So everybody who had a camera became their own like studio. And they started calling me directly. And then suddenly we got like 30 offers every day from all over the world.
Wow.
And my wife said to me, "You want to try this?" I said, "Sure." So we went around the world a couple of times making movies. And then she sent me around the world for the third time by myself. "Bye bye, Eric. See you later." And I just kept doing it. And it just kept being more and more fun. And I kept meeting more and more crazy, wonderful, interesting, young, groovy people. And just having a great time.
And I imagine the turnaround is much faster now because of the digital age that we live in, right?
It went from like literally 12 weeks to 3 days.
Wow. That's pretty crazy.
Let me ask you this. Do people often say you remind them of a much more upbeat, much more intelligent, much more put together Gary Busey? Do you get that often?
No, I never heard that before in my life. And thank you. I love Gary very much. I've known Gary from the very beginning, from 1979. Great guy, great human being. Had some issues and gotten his own way a lot. Wonderful human, though.
Yeah, I had dinner with him one time, and it was lovely to catch up with him. I think this, and I want to ask you this. Do you think because you were such a quintessential actor and a movie star when you first started out, that grants you some longevity? Because I don't think it does. I watch what you do now, and you work just as hard as you did back in the old days. Is that correct?
Yeah, sure. I just love it. It's not work. It's energy in an endeavor, but it's not work. It's an absolute pleasure all day, every day. And we all have our bad days, but I have very few. And I also have this wife who's this powerhouse of an intellect and this powerhouse of a talent. And she's a walking saint. She's very nice. Everybody loves her, knows her. So I have that.
I heard that was interesting. I might be wrong on this. Here's what, by the way, Eric, I do idiotic amounts of research. Aaron can rely on being funny. I cannot. So I have to go into research. And I love this story if it's true. Okay. You meet your wife, well, now wife of 30 years plus, I think at this point, right? 30-ish years. You met her on a plane.
Yeah.
You had a cat in your lap. She thought you were gay, which is already funny, right? But then, and this is the part, I don't know if this is true, because if it is, it's a crazy story. Yeah. You get her number, you call, but this is 30-something years ago. There's no caller ID. There's no way to check. A dude answers the phone, and you think, oh, it's a fucking boyfriend or whatever.
Yeah.
And the guy says to her, hey, there's a guy named Eric on the phone. He's like, I'm not home. He goes, he can hear this. Plus, I think he sounds like Eric Roberts.
Yeah.
And that guy ends up being Jeffrey Dean Morgan. And that's how he put you two together. Is that actually true?
Jeffrey Dean Morgan was my wife's babysitter back in the day. And he answered the phone and he goes to her, telephone call. Who is it? Eric. I don't know an Eric. It sounds like Eric Roberts. Oh, I met him on the plane. She takes the call. If he hadn't told her that, she would not have taken the call. I would not have called back because I would have thought I got blown off.
Of course. So was he the best man at the wedding at least or anything like that? Or
he was not. But we went to his wedding, which was a grand affair. Oh, my God. It was a Hollywood movie star, huge wedding. And it was so much fun to be there. And he looked like a movie star. He was cool.
That's awesome. And then, speaking of your wife, and I'm going to bounce around a little bit because when you have fucking 700 movies to talk about in different parts of your life, I got to hit something that. Because you hear things that I don't know if they're true or not. It's just fascinating. But I know I just saw your wife to your right behind you right now. But she was in Animal House. She's in that very famous scene, May We Dance With Your Dates. That's your wife.
Dance With Your Dates.
And she was pregnant at the time. And now that child is on tour with the guy that was in the fucking video that she was in the scene with. Is that actually accurate or am I wrong?
Well done. You want to be my manager? You're really good.
Eric, are you worried that Ralph's been sitting outside your house collecting your garbage because he knows so much about you?
Oh, I love it, dude. It's great. I love this.
But that's crazy.
My wife is so popular because of that movie that, I go places, thinking, yeah, I'm here for you people to say, hi, Eric. Eliza Roberts. Hi, but. Oh, wasn't your name Simons? They always ask me. Yeah, that's her name when she was in that movie.
Blah, that's blah, wild. And it's Otis Day, right? Otis loves us. That's Otis, who's your son. He's on tour with them right now, right?
Right. That's right. That's so his name is Keaton Simons, and he is by far my favorite singer-songwriter.
And it's funny because I was listening to some of his music, and one song I said, oh, I know this song. And it was like, oh, it was in the show Suits, and you were in Suits. So that's kind of a full circle thing. And also, right, just to give your stepson some props, he also worked with Chris Cornell, Jason Moran's. The guy's not fucking around either. Between your daughter, your sister, your wife, her parents, it's ridiculous what's going on with this lineage here.
I'm the only one who got in free.
It's genetic, right? You know it's genetic. You've passed on this brilliant seed that's just going all around the world now, right?
You know what I'm very proud of is my wife made Animal House here before I made New King of the Gypsies, but I was pretty much first, and I got to share it. So I'm like very proud of that.
Can I say, Ralph?
Yeah.
I watched Eric and Star 80, which is a spellbinding performance. Yeah. And then it's amazing how there's nothing new under the sun, because Hollywood loves to repeat and recycle. But once in a while, they take something and base it off something. So there was a brand new series that just came out with Kumail Nanjiani. And I may have messed up his name a little bit. They did the Chippendales stuff. And then I'm watching the guy that plays the guy that you played opposite Dorothy Stratton and the whole murder story. And I can't watch it without thinking about you playing that part. That's how much you made a stamp on that part. Are you aware of that?
Only in the past about 1,000 days. And that movie's 30 years old. Only in the past about 3 years have I become aware of the fact that some of those filmmakers that utilized me, like Bob Fosse, like Frank Pearson, those guys made great movies and they put me in them, man. And they were great leaders. I mean, Bob Fosse, it's an overused and abused word. He was a genius.
Yeah.
Work with a real genius, you realize two very important things, that they're really hard to find. They're so unusual. You know, it's an overused word, but they are unusual little creatures. And also that you're not one. You like see very clearly, oh, that's what that is. Oh, I'm not that. And he was the most education in the shortest amount of time I ever got up till I got married.
But this story that was Star 80 then becomes part of a bigger story. And it's amazing how that story catapulted itself into this series that was huge on Hulu like a month ago. And the movie was so long ago. And I guarantee you, probably Tarantino is going to touch on it or something. And it's going to be part of one of his twisted Hollywood stories at some point.
You know,
point.
What's crazy, by the way, I was a nightclub promoter for Chippendales during that time. I knew those people. It's pretty wild.
81.
It was pretty crazy. I was over there during that time for the Chippendales dancers. I used to run the nightclub. So they'd do the dancing. The guys would dance for girls until 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then at 10 o'clock, they would let guys in. And it was my job to go find guys to bring them into Chippendales for a room full of horny women, which is pretty wild.
Wow, cool.
It was a long time. You mentioned that you were the pioneer. I didn't know this until, again, doing the research, that you were the one who recommended your sister for a bit part in a movie way back in the day. That's fucking crazy. That's just wild.
I got her Screen Actors Guild card, and then she took off like a rocket.
That's nuts. And then I was watching, because I was doing people say your first thing was King of the Gypsies, although it really was a Sunday morning television show called The Little Pioneers. That's what I found out.
Wow, that was an episode of the Pioneers on a show called Bum Bum and His Buddies on WAII Channel 11 in Atlanta, Georgia. Good for you, man. You really did a lot of homework.
Okay, wait. I know some stuff too, Eric.
Let's hear it, Aaron.
Rapped on a film with a friend of mine named Frank Caruso.
What a great cat.
A quirky little director out of Toronto. Now, Frank, for you... a huge get. Frank, very talented guy, but we did a movie years ago with no money, and he just wanted to start making movies. So it was a bunch of young actors just around a pool at a house with no script, no plot, nothing ever came of it. And I go, Frank's dead in the water, nothing's gonna happen. Then I look on Facebook a month ago and I see your mug next to him. Tell me about this movie. Where'd you shoot it? In Alberta?
I don't want to tell you anything about the movie. You have to go watch the movie.
Okay.
He's going to be the real thing. He's a wonderful guy to know. He's a wonderful guy to work with. I liked him as my leader.
Good.
That's nice. That's a nice plug. By the way, on that note, as you probably can tell now, I've watched tons of hours of you, right? Never once, really. You're so kind to every single person that people bring up. You always give them accolade, or you'll say, you know, it's not me to answer that question. You always, always take the high road, right? I have two examples that I found interesting that were not the high road, and I want to get your opinion on them. Ready? Number one, you said, which he ends up being one of your best friends, I think, to this day, maybe, but Mickey Rourke was a very selfish actor.
Oh, correct? He's one of the most selfish actors I've ever met in my life. He first of all, shows up late every single day. He never loves. He never knows a word of dialogue. But you know, he's brilliant, Mickey. He's brilliant. He gave a performance in a movie called Barfly.
Great movie, loved it.
Peculiar, weird movie about an odd, peculiar, weird writer, but
Charles Bukowski.
Yeah, but like Mickey's performance is just. It's just magnificent.
Here's the worst brag ever. Ready? Me and Mickey Rourke, Wiener cousins. There you go. Thank you very much. So then the only other thing you said that it was negative in all the hours I've watched, and it's not, it wasn't even you really. I believe it was your wife's mother that said it. Marlon Brando has a small penis.
No, you got it all wrong. Here's what it was. I worked with Shelley Winters in my first movie as my grandmother, and we made friends. We got along great. And she said to me one day, we're talking about intimacy. She was saying things like, if I were younger and I were thinner, you'd be in my trailer right now with the door locked, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, she said, Marlon and I, we had a thing for a couple of years off and on. He had a very small penis, but he worked very hard. And I just loved her.
That's great.
All right, before we go any further, if you are a responsible adult over the age of 21 and you're living in a state where Delta 8 is legal, I just realized that rhymes. And if you want to get high, fucking super duper high, there's only one answer. It's YoDelta.com. You could stock up on high-quality, lab-tested Delta 8 gummies and vapes for all of your getting high needs. And if you're over the age of 21 and living in a majority of the states where this is legal, simple. Go to YoDelta.com, stock up on that Delta 8. If you don't know what Delta 8 is, well, that means you haven't heard this show in a while, but it's found in hemp, and it can be legally shipped to various states in the United States, and it gets you really fucking high. At YoDelta.com, you can find a mix of gummies and vapes for all your getting stone needs. And at YoDelta.com, their Delta 8 is a product that should be taken responsibly. So go to YoDelta.com, use the code GAS, you're going to get 25% off. Once again, the promo code is GAS, that's G-A-S. You get 25% off your entire order at YoDelta.com, home of Delta 8. That will get you super fucking high. Let's get back into it.
You said that you hire people at this point because you have, I mean, as I said, 92 movies coming out, right? You have readers that go through scripts for you and decipher, okay, this is one you should look at, this one you should look at. Has there been one where you got pissed off because they missed out on a great show or great movie, and you're like, what the fuck? How did you pass on that?
No. But here's the thing. I'm not that kind of judge. I don't oversee everything like that. Mm-hmm. I allow them to be grownups and to give me synopsis. You know, these are good synopsis. These are stuff I didn't like synopsis. And so, but I read them all. But I had that opinion before I get into it, and it makes it easier for me because I like these kids, and these kids are both smarter than I am. So it's handy.
Do you ever have to battle between being an artist and using your art for capitalist reasons? Has there ever been a point in your career where you said, I'm doing this for money?
All the time, dude. like every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, maybe. Like,
come on.
Sure. No, there comes a time, you know, you like start out as a very precious, precious, delicate, sincere artist. And then you go through life and career and like people and winnings and losings and lovings and hatings. And you realize that you're just like everybody else. You just happen to have a better time at one little event. And you have to accept what you are. And once you do, and then you find your humor about yourself, and then you realize, oh my God, I took myself so seriously. How embarrassing. And you get over yourself. And once you do, if you're with somebody, like I have a wife who's my best everything. And if you have that, you can ask that person, you can, you know, ask for help. You can say, am I doing this right?
Do you find a point where your careers merged, the two of you?
Well, yeah. What happened, it was my fault. But what happened was I got a call from an agent's assistant who told me that All Star was being turned down without telling me because it wasn't offering me enough money, blah, blah, blah. And I said, do you have a list? And she said, yes. So I fired the agency over that. But when you fire a big agency, they can ruin you because they can tell people he's hard to work with, blah, blah, blah. And they and they can. And a lot of times do ruin people. And so I told them, don't ever mention my name and I won't see you. So leave me alone. And I went home that day and I told my wife, you're the boss. And she says, I can't do this. I said, but you've been doing it. You're the boss. So she was so loved as a casting director. And so loved is who she is, and also as an actor, that all the doors opened for all the little independents, and they sprouted up because everybody became their own studio all over the world, and they all wanted Eric in a movie for a minute.
It's awesome. So
I'm going to ask you, there's so many movies and TV shows. We're going to bring up some of them, of course, throughout the interview. But do you have, like, if I were to just randomly pull something from your crazy catalog, do you remember everything, or there are things that come out you're like, oh yeah, I shot that, I forgot I shot that? Like, how much of each one is vested, takes up a space of Eric Roberts' brain?
If I have more than a scene, I can remember it. If I have a scene, I'm like, nah, I don't know. Yeah, I remember the trip, but I don't remember the actual shooting, or I remember the costume, but not the director, whatever it is. But I will drop certain things if it's an in and out. But if I start in it, or it's a big a supporting role, it's a family every time. And you fall in love with these people through your character and through your work process. And so you're bonded. And so you don't forget those people. And there are lots of them, dude.
The story I loved, because it's such a great movie, and this scene is so like memorable. And the fact that it was written the night before blew my mind, which is The Specialist. You and Sylvester Stallone, you go to see them filming, and Sly goes, hey, we don't have a scene together, and I'm going to write one. And then the scene with the knife and the straight, that whole thing just was written the night before. That's crazy to me.
Yeah, well, that's Sly. He's cool. Hey, Eric, we never seen together. So write one. I will. We'll shoot it tomorrow. And we did.
And that's fucking so cool that something that memorable just kind of came together like that.
But then, jump ahead, Expendables. He writes me the best monologues I've ever had as a bad guy. I've got scenes with Dolph, where I bring Dolph heroin. He's a junkie. You don't know this in the movie. He's a junkie, and I hold the power of his addiction, and I have him undermine the Expendables for me, blah, blah, blah. It's all this backstory, cool shit. But we're shooting, and we don't shoot my good stuff. We don't shoot my good stuff. We don't shoot my good stuff. And we're in the last, like, 10 days. And I say to Sly, when are you going to shoot my stuff? And he goes, we're not. And I said, why not? And he goes, it's not an Eric Roberts movie. And so you never know what you're going to get. And also... and also in the first time out with him, where we did that scene overnight, he was the star. He was not the producer. He was not the director. He was not the writer. He wrote that scene, but he's not the writer of the movie. But in our movie, The Expendables, he was the writer, the star, the director, the producer. He had a schedule to have to meet, blah, blah, blah. He had a studio that he had to deal with, all hands on. So there's a lot of reasons.
Right. But that makes sense.
I was very disappointed.
You so often play bad guys, but you seem so genuinely a nice guy. Do you relish that other side of you to find and play these wacky, wild guys? Or is that just a part that's inside of you?
It's like not about my psyche. It's about having fun. Your bad guys are just more fun. You get better clothes, you get better cars, you get better guns, you get better deaths, you get better love scenes, you get better everything, except you don't live and you don't win.
Yeah,
that's a good point. That's true. That's very true. The story, and I'm gonna let Aaron get some questions too. I'm sorry, Aaron. I'm just very excited this is happening. But
yeah,
the story
I can tell.
I really love is so your role in Pope of Greenwich Village is so iconic. You know, you it just the two of you together, phenomenal. But the fact that you went one way that you were so sure about that ends up getting the original director fired so that your vision could come to screen. Is wild that they actually backed you for that. Am I fucking that up or is that right?
No, that's right. But it's a long story and it's a very selfish story. It's a very me story. So I hate going through it. But, you know, to make a long story very short, I got offered that role in January and they said, pick a part, Paulie or Charlie. Pick a part, Eric. So I picked Paulie. And they said, okay, that was January, the first week of January of that year. Okay, they go after Mickey, they get Mickey. We go into rehearsal. We had 5 days of rehearsal in August of that year. So I had 8 months and I lost, you know, 30 pounds. I permed my hair, learned my script, and stood up ready to go. And the director said, why are you so skinny? I said, I want to be a walking spaz attack. He said, why'd you perm your hair? I said, same thing, walking spaz attack. He said, what the F is a walking spaz attack? I said, you know, John Belushi, only skinny. He said, we disagree. Don't play this guy like that. I said, no, that's what I'm doing. He goes, well, if you're going to do that, I want you to resign. And mm-hmm. I said, I'm not going anywhere. And so the producers fired him and he brought in Stuart Rosenberg, who directed a great movie.
That's really
what happened to the guy that got fired.
He directed the Civil War dramas for Ted Turner.
Yeah. You know.
They're good, man. They're good. They're fun to watch. I'm a history.
You just say nice things about everybody.
Let me ask
you this.
He made good documentaries about the Civil War.
You worked with a brilliant actor named Aaron Berg. You were on a project called Witchblade. Now, you probably don't remember this project. This project took place in Toronto, Canada.
Yancey Butler.
Oh, you got
it. He does remember everything. He's not fucking around, Aaron.
And this was a big role for Aaron Berg. He got to set. He finds out Eric Roberts is in my scene. Now, you don't know what it's like to be a Canadian actor. You're just very happy to be there. You're hoping you make enough that year so that you can start to get benefits, like medical benefits. You're just ecstatic. And then you look at the call sheet, and I go, I'm number 16, which to me was moving up. I was no longer chubby gay guy number 3. This was a real part, Eric. This was skinhead number 2.
Wow.
So I get, and I go, Eric Roberts. And this is before phones. This is before you could just go, who's Eric Roberts? Because I already knew who Eric Roberts was. And I got there, and you could not be more professional, more kind. And when I invited you back to my trailer to show you how I did my chest workout, you very kindly said, no, thanks. I'm not interested. I want to have nothing to do.
When was that, Aaron?
Oh my gosh, it was so long ago. And they CGI'd that episode. The episode is still available. They made me look like another person in some of the scenes. It's really odd. I'd never seen that done before. That's the first time I met you. And you went and ate lunch with everybody else, which blew my mind because I was like, this is a real movie star. And I thought you would have this quality where you'd go off and eat back in your trailer or something, and you just sat down and ate mediocre chicken with the rest of us.
Now, everybody kind of expects that, but that's not fun. And that's
no, it's not.
And it's also lonely. I mean, you know, why put yourself through that?
Now that I'm a star, when I go back to sets, I get along with the crew the best because I think of myself as a blue collar working guy. No matter how much money I make, I'm a working guy that's out there busting my butt, and I'm doing this movie doesn't happen without this entire crew, without the Jenny op, without the boom guy. And some of the actors are great and some of the actors are prima donnas, but I get along the best with the crew because they're working class people. Do you find that?
Sir, you brought that up because I work all over the world and I made hundreds of movies outside the US, way outside, on the other side of the globe. All crews are the same and they're all groovy. Yes. Yeah.
Eric, now that you've worked with Aaron Berg, is there anyone else left on the planet that you want to work with? Or is there?
Well, there is an actor who I've known for like 46 years. God, I have. I've known him since I was 19. So that, yeah, wow. And that's Christopher Walken. We've never worked together. Mm-hmm. So, we have. But it was not on the same set at the same time. I was playing some kind of saint and he was playing a devil and I was talking to him and he was talking to me through time, you know, but we weren't acting together. So, and I want to work with him. I want to do something like a Christopher Walken, Eric Roberts version of Beckett, you know, Marlon Brando and O'Toole, you know, something, a very powerful men who were obviously not in control of the situation. And I just love Walken's work so much. And I love Walken so much. And I've yet to ever work with him.
That's pretty wild. There's rumors for years about a Pope of Greenwich Village too. Is that ever going to happen or is that never happening?
I would love it to happen. Everybody in the world wanted to do it, you know, for a while. And now it's like raising its head again the past couple of years. A lot of people are after it. We'll see. But the thing is, we have to, because, you know, Mickey looks, you know, very different now. So we have to do is you have to open the movie, explaining why he looks different. So right. It's not a shocking thing. And so we open it up with him being beaten almost, you know, to death because right. I guess I'm wrong. and then we go from there. But we've yet to decide how to do it.
Of your 92 upcoming projects, is there one that sticks out that you're super, super excited about?
Well, I tell you what, I made an appearance what's a Margot Robbie film called, baby? What's a Margot Robbie film called?
Babylon?
Babylon? She says, yeah, of course, Babylon. You know, Brad Pitt, Margot Robbie. It's a really cool movie. Damien Chazelle, he's a bit of a phenomenon. And anyway, that is my latest biggest thing that's out there. Mm-hmm. But and I don't really watch myself anymore. I haven't watched myself in a long time.
I mean, you'd have no time left in the day. You're in so many fucking things. How could you watch yourself?
No, it's not like that. It's like I just got sick of watching myself. I mean, I like saw too much of myself. And
I don't know. Here's some weird Eric Roberts lore that I'd like to be cleared up. You ready?
Okay.
Tell me where I go off the rails here. Born in Mississippi, but you're only there for 3 days. You grew up in New Orleans. You lived on a boat, then moved to Atlanta. But at some point, this is what I hear. Your dad sold vacuum cleaners and your mom was a housewife. But at some point, they open up a school. They work with Martin Luther King Jr. somehow. I'm not exactly sure what that is. But here's where it gets weird. Somewhere in there also, your dad was apparently running guns to Cuba. How much of that is accurate?
It's all accurate, but it's way out of order.
Okay, well, that's allowed.
When he was a kid, he ran guns to Cuba, and my earliest memories are on that boat. I was probably 3.5 or 4 when I remember, you know, being on a dock in Cuba. But so that's very early. And the acting school was funded in part by the Martin Luther King Foundation, and mm-hmm. all the King, you know, kids were in our school, Yoki, Marty, Dexter, and Bunny. And we grew up together. We're very close. You know, Yolanda and I, who I call Yoki, Yolanda and I were discussing a project we're going to do together. And when she died, hold on just a second, I'll turn that off. Yeah, she died very suddenly, very unexpectedly. So so that all fell apart. And Marty and I have yet to accept the time when I went down there over her death. Marty and I have not spent time together in years, mm-hmm. even though we all grew up together and we're all very close. And we all loved each other very much. I got closest probably to Dexter, but we loved them all.
Fair enough. So at least I was right, but I was out of order. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah,
right, Scott, I'll take it. I'll take it as a win if you don't mind, Eric.
Okay, cool.
Eric, also,
go ahead.
If you had the opportunity and Christopher Walken reaches out and calls you tomorrow and goes, I was thinking, I don't do impressions. Eric. Eric, it's me, Christopher Walken. That's Dice. If he calls up and says, Gagoosh, I want to work with you. It's me.
Muffet.
If he goes, I love the idea. The Beckett piece. But oh,
let me put this in there first, Eric. I heard it on the SDR show. Continue.
Okay.
That's what he says.
Really? I heard on the SDR show that you were talking about doing this show with me, Christopher Gagoosh Walken. What if he comes up to you?
We lost him a second.
Oh, why? You think he just hung up because my Dice impression?
Can you hear us, Eric? We lost him a second. It's a good freeze. He looks happy there, but.
He is. What my for Walken and I.
Well, hold on, Eric. We lost your video. Your video is frozen.
Your internet connection is unstable. We lost.
Yeah, we lost everything.
Are you back?
I can hear. Wait.
You're back.
It's back.
Cool.
My question was, if he reached out to you and goes, I heard on the SDR show you have this idea. I would love to do it, but I think it's a play. Let's take it off Broadway. Would you bite?
Sure, I would. I would then, as soon as I hung up from him, I would say, God, we're not going to make any money this year, honey. Because you know, that's what happens. When ever you do theater, you lose financially. Yeah. Yeah.
That's important. You also said you've been asked to direct well over 200 times, but you have no interest in directing.
I don't want to be a responsible grown-up boss. I love my job.
It just, and also, by the way, I would see with your lust for life, carefree, enjoy the moment attitude, you can't really do that as a director. Am I right to assume that?
Absolutely. You have to be a grown-up and you have to be everybody's mother. It's a responsibility that's a very grown-up job. I'm not interested.
Do you think that the best actors are worldly and wise adults, but somehow able to tap into just being pure children?
No, the best artists are gonna be people who have never grown up, because to a grown up is to suppress the human nature, and the human nature has to be sprouting all over the place to be a really good actor. And so you are, to put it kindly, you are immature. And to put it more honestly, you're a big baby. But you have intelligence. You have to know how to present and how to do accents and how to understand other psyches. You have to not be stupid, but you don't have to be as gifted as they say you do. You know, I mean, I'm an example of that. I am not terribly gifted. I'm not terribly smart. I am a good actor, but I'm not a genius. Okay.
Worst character choice you've ever made that you regret, where you took a character absolutely one way and in retrospect.
I would love to tell you that. I would love to answer that question. But if I answer that question, everybody goes to that movie.
Yeah.
Everybody goes to that. And then that becomes the Eric Roberts moment for 30 days.
Yeah.
We don't want that in our lives.
But you got one in there, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it was a favor. And it was a comedy.
Yeah.
Not funny comedy. And I did it. Every minute of it, I knew this is ridiculously bad. But I kept going because it was a friend. And regret. And, you know, I had still done, you know, many projects for friends, but my advice to all of you out there is don't help your friends. Pat their backs, but don't help them.
Let me ask you this though. Of the six decades that you've worked as an actor, can you tell us which decade it was in?
Yeah, it was in the 90s.
In the 90s. Okay, fair enough. That's good.
And since you've taught me don't work with your friends, I'll be hanging up now. And thanks for having me, Ralph.
No. I don't mean that as it sounds. I love working with my friends.
Well, what really makes friends? Like people, because I would imagine in Hollywood that there's a lot of false friendship as well, where yes. people are like, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to send you and your wife a lovely thing, but they're hoping for something on the right. back end.
For instance, up until 30 seconds ago, I didn't know Aaron and I were friends.
Yeah, I still don't.
But that's where the fork in the road happens. If you trust, if you don't. If you trust, they're your friends. If you don't, they are not. If they do, they are. And if they don't, they are not. It's all about trust. And right. if you have it, they're your friends. And if you don't, they're your acquaintances. It's all okay. It's all legal. It's not like wrong.
Yeah. My wife will just meet somebody and go, oh, I met a new friend. I'm like, that's not a friend. That's just someone you met at a bus station.
Yeah, it's an acquaintance. Romantic. That's fine. Acquaintance okay. fine.
Yeah.
I touched on this at the beginning of the interview, Eric, that you've been in several music videos. And amazingly, every single one of them has gone platinum. If you're in the video, you're platinum. And the original one was The Killers, Mr. Brightside. And your kids talked you into it. You called back when your kids said, don't be an idiot. And you did it. And now you're the go-to. You're in Rihanna's video. You were in a second Killers video. Do you get now, because your track record is literally batting 1,000, are you getting, that's probably more than it. Even movies, people ask you to do music videos.
There are. I get dozens of offers every day from bands in Istanbul, who you'll never hear of again, to possible good name groups who want me to be in the video. And now it's not just a yeah and I go. It's a let me see your storyboard and how we're doing.
Do you have to like the song as well, or you don't care so much about the song?
No, I have to like the artist.
Okay.
And all the guys I've been with, I just love them.
Now, most people don't know this, but you dressed up as a young lady and climbed on stage with Bruce Springsteen in Dancing in the Dark.
That's
true.
You know, my wife was in that video, you know.
Really?
No shit.
Yes, she has natural carrot red hair. She's in that video.
Black and white.
Yeah, right. It's a black and white video. You wouldn't see that.
What was she doing that? Was she clapping?
Were you doing the clapping?
No, it was actually wait, it was a different video. It was very romantic. It was
with Springsteen?
I have to think of it.
she's getting camera shy. She's freaking
okay.
out.
Okay, I can hear her.
Yeah.
Also, by the way, we touched on your sister. We touched on your stepson. It's also hilarious how your daughter has become a superstar. So much so, by the way, this is what's hilarious. I met a girl the other day that was a little younger. She's like 25, 26, right?
Right.
And I said, oh, I'm interviewing Eric Roberts tomorrow. She goes, Eric Roberts. She wasn't sure. I said, oh, Emma Roberts' dad. She goes, Emma Roberts? Like, she's too young, you know? And she was great in American Horror Story, but my favorite thing she ever did was We're the Millers, which is just a great movie.
Mine too. Yes, mine too. I love that movie, and I love her work in that movie.
Yeah, she's great in that. It's such a great thing. And did you fear her getting into the same world that you were in? Because you even said you became too famous too young and it corrupted you. Were you worried that might happen to your daughter?
No, because, you know, I was an uneducated idiot, and she's a very together, and she's very cool, and she's very business oriented. And I was none of those things. I was not smart. I was not cool. And I was not oriented towards anybody's business. And so, you know, I just got lucky, man. She took aim and fired, you know, I got lucky.
Isn't it awesome to have a daughter?
Yeah, it is. It's so cool. And also, you're a god. You're a god to that little child until the day they turn 14. And overnight, it's dead. You're so stupid. And
really?
It's so hard. 5 years, dude.
Aaron, you got a few more years left to enjoy it, Aaron.
That's my good. Daughter's five. She called me dude today. She goes, dude.
Loving, dude. It's so loving.
Yeah.
There's a quote where Leonardo DiCaprio
What's her name?
Said,
Piper.
Hyper.
Piper, not hyper. Piper. Not over it.
Piper.
Piper, like, Piper. You know,
like Piper Parabo. Piper Parabo, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, this is a hard question for you to answer. I'm sure you're not going to answer it. You're going to answer very politically correct. But Leonardo DiCaprio said, you are the best actor of our generation.
Oh, I did not know that. I think that is so cool of him to say that about me.
So let's put that on the side for a second. Let's assume, just for the argument, that maybe that's not true. If you had to pick someone, who would you say is the best actor of our generation?
Well, she's a lot younger, so it's not fair. But I'm so in love these days with Margot Robbie, I can't see straight. That bitch can act. Damn. And
the nice way to put it. I like that. We lost you a second.
A scene that did not end up in the movie. That is just a crime, because it just mechanically, she was magnificent in the scene. And it's, I'm in a car, a 1914-18 car, that put, 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 and I'm on the governor's old car, up his long, winding driveway, while she's on a wall by the driveway, walking backwards, barefoot, in a man's shirt, holding a drink, talking to me for four takes, the last over 2 minutes to take. And she did it perfect every time, walking backwards with a drink, dude. And
that's
I
cool.
just mechanically, artistically, every way there is, she's perfect for me as an actor.
Do you know what Eric does really well that modern actors fail at? He very rarely uses the word like. That's like going to the like. You know how young kids say like all the time? Every word that comes out of his mouth, it's not calculated, but it counts for something. You know what I mean? I miss that.
When I was in college, we did this test, how far you could go without saying or like. And yeah. Most people could not last a minute.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's funny. It's
I'm going to give you an actor's name. Tell me what you think of this guy. Walter Goggins.
Help me.
You love Walter. He's in Righteous Gemstones with you. Righteous Gemstones.
Who do you play in Righteous?
He was heavy in the season before you, but then
is he the guy who came to set that day? Just say hi to me. Who weighs about 260, 280, great big dude.
No.
Good looking, skinnier guy in Righteous Gemstones. He left for a while. He was like Uncle Bubba or something, I think was his name. But he didn't look like him.
You can.
I wish I could put a face to him. I hate that.
I'll give you a face.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, I think you would really see pieces of you in him. In Sons of Anarchy, he played a trans prostitute. He was in the Shield for every season. He was Chiklis's right-hand guy.
Oh yeah.
Hateful Eight.
Yeah, just show me a picture of him. I know exactly who he is. Yeah,
your wife said you love him. You love him. Righteous Gemstones. How great was that? I saw Eric Andre out last night, and he was in the last season of Righteous. What a great show that was.
Amazing.
What a cool guy Eric Andre is.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
That's you're doing these banger shows. These shows are amazing shows. With you've gone from doing the grittiest hardcore New York type drama to the funniest HBO series that exists in the world. Isn't that amazing?
I have never liked a job more than playing Junior on Righteous Gemstones. I've had a lot of jobs, dude. I've had a lot of jobs I loved. I've never liked a job more than Righteous Gemstones, ever.
Such a good show.
great show. Love that show so
Danny,
much.
He like sets the whole precedence of it. It's also an overused word for him too. He is a genius.
Yes.
But he's a genius in how he balances the whole situation, all those egos, all those talents, all that brilliance, all that idea, and he puts it all together and he makes it into a molding thing that works. He's just a cool, gifted guy.
Anything McBride touches is gold.
Yeah.
Eastbound and Down, Vice Principals.
Those are all so good. Jesus Christ.
And it's so getting good. To the point where that type of comedy may not be allowed anymore. It almost seems it's so edgy, the stuff that they do, and it's so on the button.
Because I live for it. Yeah, don't take it from me. I live for that kind of comedy.
Yeah, me too.
Let me ask you this. So you said in an interview, your five favorite films that you've done. Well, you didn't like to say favorites. You said five seminal films. You didn't want to make favorites, but Star 80, Runaway Train, It's My Party, Love is a Gun, and Purgatory, right? So those were, you said, were your five that were like the ones that really stick out in your repertoire. If there was a movie in the past few years that you did that you wished everybody would see, what would that be?
What's a movie I made with Patrick Warburton? Oh, The Civilization of Maxwell Bright.
Good name.
Good name. Sounds important.
He's not a man who's a mean MF, man. He's a bad dude. He's just not good people. He owns a TV repair and a sales shop where he sells TV and he repairs TVs. And I worked there. And it's about him and his abusive relationship with his wife. He turns around later. It's a happy kind of a story, but it's also very realistic. It's very balanced. Anyway, his performance, he's the Enterprise guy. You know the Enterprise guy? Who
Patrick Warburton. They know
Patrick Warburton.
I know Patrick Warburton. Yeah, sure, of course.
Okay, Google Patrick Warburton. You'll see
everything. I know who he is. Of course.
As far as him, he's magnificent. And I play this little weasel of a guy who, was obviously abused as a child and has a stuttering disorder and is all effed up, but loves his boss, who's this abusive guy. And it's about all the abusive guys in relationships, and I'm just one of the relationships. I'm just a supporting role in it. But it's a movie that I gave myself to, in that I had the time to do homework and develop a character with it, which I don't have all that time anymore. So I'm very proud of that. And I'm just so blown away by Patrick, because I love the guy as a guy, only he's a great actor. He's like a great effing actor, dude.
He's Joe Swanson on Family Guy, isn't he?
He is. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
He was Elaine's boyfriend on Seinfeld.
Yeah, Mr.
That's who he was.
Putty.
Yeah,
very interesting guy. Right. Great. His voice is unmistakable.
Anyway, The Civilization of Maxwell Bright. Everybody, see that movie. Man, it's going to be hard to find, but find it.
Okay. All right, now. Before I ask the last round of the questions, Aaron, I want you to, have, if there's a chance, if anything else you want to ask, I don't want to step on it before we go into the first. Do you have anything?
Oh, you're going to do like a big, like you're going to rattle off a whole bunch of questions and he's going to answer them like really instantaneously. So I got to get my last one in before that.
Something like that.
What's your, if you right now, tonight, you've done this call, I go, Eric, you got 3 hours. You can watch any movie in the world that you like that reminds you of your childhood or of your family. What movie would you turn on tonight? If you had 3 hours,
talk about tonight in this moment in time.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave you guys and go upstairs, turn off the lights, close the blinds, you'll be black in that room, and I'm going to turn off the playoff game that I haven't watched with the Eagles.
Oh, that's good.
I know who wins and all that, but I haven't watched the game yet.
Yeah.
Is this the thing about traveling so much you miss the playoffs and sometimes you miss the Super Bowl, dude? It kills you. Oh God. But yeah, I'm gonna go up there and I'm turning off all the lights and get all dark and have my Boston cream donut and my almond milk, and I'm gonna watch a game.
Okay.
What about this? A non-acting, non-movie TV show related hobby of Eric Roberts, something you really enjoy doing outside of the world of acting.
Pro football, dude. I know all the teams, all the players. I have several favorite teams. I just love the game. I love the coaches. I love the fact we have a new generation of young coaches who are all younger than me. And they're just incredible teams now. And all the quarterbacks are phenomenal. And we have these two who played for the NFC championship. I mean, God, these guys are unbelievable athletes. And I just love watching them. It's an old guy now. I love watching these young guys kill it.
And my last question before we go to the first is this. Do you and your wife figure out like, okay, we have time to do, I'm going to make up a number, 40 movies or 40 TV shows this year, but then we got to take time off to be just the two of us? Or is it not that regimented?
We never talk numbers. And my wife was never like this before me, so I'm going to talk about it. I'm very handsy. I grab my wife. I grow my wife. I jump my wife. I'm all over her all the time. Mm-hmm. She used to complain about it. Say, will you stop it all the time? But now she accepts it. I probably broke her in, but she accepts it. So, okay. And so we're like always, I mean, whenever we're alone, we're not having sex, but we're intimate all day long, every day. It's like we're like two kids who have a crush all the time. And it just makes our relationship fun. That's what was the question? Oh yeah. No. We don't plan to take time off ever. We never do. We've been kissing for 31 years. We've been married for 30 years. We've had two vacations, one for 4 days and one for six.
I heard that you talked the director into putting your whole family and friends up for Sharktopus, and that's how you got talked into that.
We've done stuff like that.
that kind of stuff is just crazy silly, and it just happened once. But sure.
All right. So the name of the show is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. We've asked every guest this question since the show has started.
The first time ever I saw concert, did drugs, had sex.
Which is your first experience with all three. We start with rock and roll, and we just mean the first concert you went to. It doesn't have to be rock, but a concert you went to because you wanted to go see them, not like your parents dragged you to something. Something you said, I want to go see this group. It doesn't have to be rock and roll, but the first concert memory of Eric Roberts.
First concert memory of Eric Roberts was, I heard Rod Stewart was coming to town. This is 1971. And I said, I'm going to scalp tickets, make some money, and go. So I bought a bunch of tickets. I go. It did not sell out. I got stuck with the tickets, but I went. It was a great concert, only half full, in Atlanta, Georgia, 1971.
Wow, that's funny. We had little Steven on from Bruce's band. When he went and saw Rod Stewart for the first time in Faces, he came out. No, he was with Jeff Beck, whatever it was. He came out and he goes, Rod Stewart's white? Like, he had no idea because there was no way to know that at the time. It's pretty
so
cool.
Bad. We lost Jeff Beck.
Yeah, it's horrible. We just lost Jeff Beck. Such a talented guy.
I'm such a fan.
So now we asked then, the second one is the first drug you ever did after weed. I know the first time you did weed, you were 13. You didn't try to get to your 19, but the first drug you did after weed.
Shrooms.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy them? I know you were a party guy for a while. You've talked extensively on how in the 80s, it was all filled with cocaine on every set and stuff, but was shrooms something that you enjoyed or was a one-time thing?
I wasn't doing it then. And that's a drug you have to do with a friend in a controlled environment because you get
on a school bus.
Not quite, but close. Okay. Anyway, but yeah, you know, shrooms have a time and a place in your life.
Okay. And now the first time you had sex.
I got set up by a group of guys.
Oh, they tricked you.
They're much older than me, and all year long they said, you're a virgin. I said, no, I'm not. But of course I was. And then the end of the year, they set me up with these two girls and they said, have fun. Suck.
Two?
They all left. These girls were there and they said, you know, and they took advantage of me. And then the next day I went to have breakfast and all, and the whole team was there waiting and they applauded.
So your first time having sex was a threesome?
Yeah.
Wow.
Jesus Christ. That goes well with the Eric Roberts folklore for sure. I also like that your wife said that you were too pretty and and your accident made you more approachable as an actor. Do you agree with that?
Yes, you think so. My wife has this thing about pretty boys. She doesn't respect them.
And then she'd love me.
Yeah, she likes when we have a broken nose. She says, see, look how great that is on you. She's that kind of broke.
Good.
I don't know what else we need to do to promote Eric Roberts, for God's sakes. We could follow him at Eric Roberts Actor on Instagram. Just turn on the TV at any given time of day. Forget about 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. You'll always see Eric Roberts on. As I said at the top of the show, evident by as I got the email that he was coming on the show, he was literally on my television. I was watching him in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Is there anything that you would like to specifically promote before we go around the room and wrap it up?
Go and watch Witchblade with me and Aaron Berg.
No, I want to thank you for talking about this man who is this incredible, overwhelming, overflowing, brilliant talent who everybody thinks, I feel that way because he's a relative, and it's Keaton Simons. This singer, songwriter, guitar player is the triplest threat I've ever met in my life. He opened for Eric Clapton a while back, and now he's playing with Brett Young, and he's just this incredible musician, and you guys brought him up. I want to thank
you. Yeah, I mean, he worked with Chris Cornell. That song from Suits is fantastic.
He and Chris were really tight, and they were about to go on tour together. And then Chris went away.
That's unfortunate. Aaron, your plugs?
Everything, all my dates are at aaronberg.com. Berg's base is on Gas Digital. I'm going to be around New York City the next month and a half. Check me out at The Stand, Gotham Comedy Club, New York Comedy Club, all those great comedy clubs, and aaronberg.com for all my dates.
I'd say now, Eric, our producer who's not on the phone today, she has a podcast, and she always says it's called The Thing Is, and it's about dating, fighting, and ghosts. So we always ask our guest, don't answer until I chime in and Aaron chimes in, which is, does Eric Roberts believe in ghosts? I think it's a yes. Aaron, what do you think? Aaron?
Is he frozen?
He's frozen.
He's back. Aaron, what do you think?
Yes.
You say yes also. Okay. Eric, what's the answer? Do you believe in ghosts?
I believe in the truth.
Come on.
There are ghosts.
Okay, yes. Fair enough. There are ghosts. That's fine enough. That's good enough. Okay, so follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. My other podcast on health and wellness called Good Sugar comes out every Monday, currently in the top 100 of iTunes Health. We're opening our first location on 3rd Avenue and 69th Street. It will be open in mid-February. Come down and eat a healthy meal with us. Again, it's called Good Sugar. We add a song to the playlist every single week. I will let Eric Roberts pick a song. Anything you want us to hear, obviously, your stepson would make the most sense, but whatever it is, we'll add it to the strshow.com/playlist. What song would you like?
Let's go Best Revenge, Keaton Simons.
We'll add that to the playlist. And thank you so much, Eric. It's an honor to have you on. And we'll see everyone next time on the SDR Show.
My hard work turns to dust. Behind my back, concealed a liar, anger fighting to erupt. Now I'm gonna bide my time while I keep it inside. I'm gonna toe the line, then I'll sit back and take what's mine. Were we watching different screens. A trusting fool caught off guard to save all your apologies. Now I'm gonna bide my time while I keep it inside. And I'm gonna toe the line, then I'll sit back and take what's mine.
Listening to the SDR Show.